Welcome to Sterile Packaging on Track Radio. This podcast delivers insights on medical device packaging, from regulatory affairs, process management, as well as discussions on the latest in sterile device packaging technologies. Each episode, our host Charlie Webb speaks with global experts to bring the most relevant information to our esteemed listeners. As sterile packaging compliance becomes increasingly more challenging, it is vital to avoid information gaps that could risk your medical device packaging program. Avoid package failure risks and build your skill set from your colleagues' experience and from insights from sterile device packaging subject matter experts.
You're listening to Sterile Packaging on Track Radio, Spot Radio. Hello, everyone. It's me again, Charlie Webb, with another episode. Well, sort of an episode. Today, we're really just going to take a short time. I don't want to take too much of your time. You're busy like me, right? So I just kind of want to give you an update. You know, I haven't been in a real good solid cadence over the last, say, 4 months with Spot Radio, but gosh, I've been so busy. It's just been crazy. Our company is growing. I'm very much involved in innovation. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that in a moment. But, you know, it's hard to keep a strong cadence, a schedule on this podcast because, frankly, it's very difficult to get people out of their environment, their ecosystem, and get them on the show. I've had a couple of people that I've been chasing around for a year, but I can just never seem to get them. They want to be on the show so bad, but they have so many commitments. So trying to get people to line up their schedule with my schedule, as you know, this is not my day gig. I'm the president of Vanderstall Scientific. I run a very busy business. I manage our laboratory. Most of the heavy lifting, I'm not going to lie to you, is done by Lisa. But, you know, I do a lot around this place. I have a very busy personal life. And so trying to make this all happen sometimes can be a challenge. But I've made a commitment this year to sort of pull back a little bit on some committees that I'm involved in and some other projects. I do this with an incredible amount of regret, I guess you would say. It's difficult to walk away from some of these groups that I've been involved in with 4 years and not be able to just go in deep. The KIPP group is something that I just absolutely adore. I love the people that I'm involved in with all of the connections that we have. But unfortunately, it's just my schedule has become so heavy. And I'm sure a lot of you can relate to that. You want to be involved in the community that you're in, the medical device packaging community, but you have to sort of be careful to not get pulled in too deep with too many things, not overcommit. If you're a young executive, take the advice of this sagacious senior executive here. You can really bury yourself quite quickly if you're not careful by being pulled in too many directions. And what I found is that, you know, I was doing a lot, but I wasn't doing anything really great. So I'm really going back to some of my roots, which is innovation. We'll talk about that in just a moment. So anyway, the cadence, I've made a commitment to Spot Radio this year that we're going to try to get on a little bit more of a cadence to where we can sort of count on episodes every couple of weeks or so. This isn't a podcast about something so popular that we do it daily or weekly. We just don't have that kind of content and certainly don't have that kind of time. Just wanted to clear that up, that we're going to make a bigger commitment to Spot Radio as I sort of uncouple with a few of the projects that I've been involved with. And again, with heavy heart, because I've enjoyed these committees and these people so much, it's a tough one for me. But moving ahead, you know, I really feel like in order for me to really contribute to medical device packaging, the best thing that I can do is do what I've done in the past. I've made some really cool inventions, patting on my back as I say this, but some cool innovations that have really push the needle forward in terms of value to patient safety. And some of my devices, I have one of my packaging machines that has an integrated peel tester and visual inspection tool, and that's become super popular. And it's really helped medical device manufacturers be certain that they're testing their pouches regularly. It has a built-in timer or calendar where it says, hey, time to test your pouch. If it doesn't meet your quality threshold in terms of tensile strength, then the device won't even continue to seal anymore. So it's that level of innovation, the gates, firewalls, problems that I'm quite proud of. The market has accepted it. So as an inventor, that's always fun when your idea connects with the market. And that's what's happening with that. But before we get started talking about innovation, I wanted to sort of circle back a little bit about the MD&M West meeting that was just held in Anaheim. Hopefully you were able to get out there despite the rainy days we had. You know, our family has a tradition where we go to Disneyland and we run around the day or 2 days before the MD&M. So we weren't able to do that. We were able to get an afternoon in before the rain really nailed us. We're not ones to walk around in slickers and umbrellas and stand in line. It just ain't fun, right? So we just got in there in an afternoon and sort of fell in between the rain and still got our little family traditions in. It was great. As a president of Vanderstall Scientific, I'm hemorrhaging money to be at the show. We doubled the size of our booth. And as I'm looking out that window pane, watching the rain droplets go down the window, I'm thinking, gosh, is anyone going to show up this year? And frankly, I think it was probably one of the best shows I've seen in the last 5 years. Many of you that know me know I've been doing this show for 30 years, 27 years with Vanderstall. So I'm an OG when it comes to the MD&M for sure. I've sort of given up trying to predict what year is going to be a good year. It's a flip of a coin, honestly. But this year was fantastic. The word on the street, I guess you would say, is that it was a really good MD&M this year. A lot of attendees, more attendees than we certainly expected. And the engagement was fantastic. We just met a lot of new people. It was so cool. And of course, you know, I've seen quarter of a century over that. I've been here, right? So I've seen a lot of kids grow up. And I remember one of my friends, Brian from Technopac. I've seen him when he was a very young man. I think he was a teenager when we first met. Now he's the president of the company. And just see all these things develop in this big life conveyor belt go by. But it's great to see these people come in, some have retired, and just kind of watch the arc of all the people in medical device packaging just before my eyes, pacing past our booth. So that's always cool. So again, for us, it was a really good show. Again, I engage with a lot of new customers. We had our group from Germany that was in from HAVO. One of the young interns and my 16-year-old son just became quick friends and were running around the mall having a lot of fun. So just the whole thing was just great. The medical device packaging technical committee threw their little cocktail party, and that was a ball. That little kind of mixer has really matured over the years, from hanging out over at the Marriott Lounge to moving into a more codified official event through SteriLeWare. We were happy that we were able to have some sponsorship there, so that was cool. And it was a lot of fun seeing all of your colleagues and hanging out in less official capacity where you can let your hair down a little bit and chat. It was always great. So that was a lot of fun. So hopefully you made it to the show and you were able to walk it this year. If not, if it's not a show you've done before, you certainly should do the MD&M. West seems to be the kind of star of the show. It was a lot of fun. We had a great time. I was invited again for the second year to teach one of the courses for the medical device packaging technical committee's fundamental in medical device packaging. And so it was cool to be able to get up there and chat a little bit. One of the challenges I have with those kind of courses, and it's beautifully done, by the way, is that who are you speaking to? And that's always a challenge when I speak, is that are these newbies, just nascent engineers that are beginning their career in medical device packaging, or are these seasoned individuals that are refreshing their chops? Really, it's a mix, but the mix kind of ebbs and flows. It would be cool if there was a way to be able to aggregate sort of the experience of attendees and say, okay, here's what's in the group this year, and sort of be able to remix our deck to be able to present to that group more. Because I always feel like either I'm talking over heads, but usually it's not that. Usually I feel like it's too remedial. And so I don't want to see eyes rolling in the audience because we're talking about the sort of baseline first day stuff. So it's always a challenge, but I had a few people come up after the course and congratulate me saying that it hit home. So I'm happy to hear that that was well received. Again, this is just kind of a short chat. I did want to speak quickly about some innovation that I'm working on. Again, I'm pulling back a little bit when it comes to committees and so forth, just because, again, I don't have that much time. I have a sort of fiduciary duty to Vanderstall Scientific. It's how I pay my electric bill. So I have to focus in on the things that are the most important through this sort of economic industrial triage. So I'm doing what I really love probably doing the most, and that's innovation. If you caught me, I guess it was last year at the MD&M, I was speaking a little bit about medical device packaging innovation. I wouldn't say it's a wasteland, but when you compare it to other industries, I still, and I get beat up for this sometimes, but I still feel like we're really not on par with a sort of innovation that you would see elsewhere. And so I'm trying to change that, at least on doing what I can do. I have no problem with, they call it disruptive. Did I say destructive? Sometimes it can be, but disruptive innovation, so-called, where it's coming out of left field. I think they're kind of missing it with the disruptive innovation concept. I mean, really bold innovation is really what I'm more about. And I think that when I look at some of the other innovation, at least in the packaging machine business sometimes, and I'm not going to call anybody out, I just think we can do more. I mean, we're looking at packaging machinery that looks like a 1950 Maytag washing machine. In my talk at the MDNM, I showcased the fact that Filtrate has a air conditioning heating filter for your home that is Bluetooth enabled. So you have connectivity with your filter on your air conditioning heater at your home, and yet we don't have that same kind of connectivity with a critical piece of machinery. Gosh, that's crazy to me. So as I move forward, I'm looking at leveraging consumer electronic level products to be able to have devices that are much more in keeping, commensurate to the sort of level of innovation that we're seeing in other industries. So one of the things that we've done forever is we have tested, if you're a medical device company and you're doing peel testing, you're cutting little specimens of a pouch and you're putting it into the machine. You try to line up the fixtures and you pull it apart and you do some reckoning depending on what system you use. We have a very smart one. I won't make a sales pitch here, but we have one that is quite good. But still, I just felt like we aren't quite there yet. There's been some indications that human behavior, human loading behavior, when you're performing the ASTM F88 peel test can affect the peel. And I own a 17025 accredited empirical laboratory. It's on our scope. So I can tell you firsthand, and done that study myself a million times, is that if you are putting the specimen in crooked, you're getting peaks. If you're not doing average, or if you're doing average values for your validation or your design of experiment, you're going to get all kinds of data all over the place. And really what you'll discover is that a lot of times it's loading behavior. So we made a cool little Delrin loading tool that perfectly squares the specimen up. So when you're doing the peel test, you know that it's fixtured correctly and it's going to give you good, reliable data. Seems like a little thing. I mean, it's a $5 part, I guess, or something, but it's huge in terms of its value. Nobody's done it before. Surprised, frankly. When we look at innovation, we're looking at sometimes when I see innovation, when I walk these trade shows, we're trying to be one flashing LED ahead of our competitors. A lot of times, marketing departments got a kung fu grip on innovation. And what they're trying to do is to do sort of pretty, overly trendy sort of innovation that just is subterfuge. It just grabs the attention of engineers, but it really, at the end of the day, what value is it really providing? I mean, I've seen the touchscreen interfaces where they've added these special colors and other little magic things that they do on the touchscreen. But at the end of the day, the user interface is important, but is it really adding value? And when you're talking about a $1,600 add-on to a device on companies that are already capitated in their budget, this becomes significant. But look, with a $5 or $6 loading tool, we've made a huge difference. That's the kind of innovation that I'm talking about. The kind of innovation that is important, not just interesting. But a lot of times, as things become important, they later earn the badge of being interesting. But we want the sweet candy up front, and then we'll decide later or not whether it was important. So I kind of turn that upside down. So it's under that sort of value that I've been innovating in my lab. And what I've come up with is what I believe will be, maybe it's bold to say, paradigm shifting. Or is it? The device that I'm coming up with, imagine this. I mean, I've done design of experiments where there's 100 peels. And if you're cutting those samples, and by the way, we've got a cool little scissor that cuts a perfect 1-inch specimen so you don't have to use razor knives in a template. Again, important technology, not super sexy, but it is an important part of what you're doing if you're sitting in a lab actually cutting specimens up all day long. So those scissors make a difference. But imagine having a group of people who are doing an ASTM F88 study, but they're not engineers. That's what happens a lot of the time. So when we're developing our validation, we're doing a design of experiment. We're in a laboratory. We have a degree in engineering. We understand data interpretation and assimilation. And so we know how to develop a design of experiments. We understand the math and standard deviations and all of those magical things that we do. So we develop our validation. We pass it on downstream. And then part of the quality plan is to have line operators perform what at times can be kind of a complicated test because it has to be done right or the test results you get are invalid. So what we discovered is that The design of experiments being done by engineers as they're developing your medical device packaging validation is pretty and great, and they're doing it all the right way. It's tons of math and spreadsheets. Love it. All works good, and it's very auditable, and everything is great. Pass it down. Now you're using this, having operators in the clean room peel pouches once or twice a day, but they don't understand what it's really done. You showed them the task, but they really don't know the meat of what is involved. Does it really matter if the specimen isn't quite 1 inch? Does it really matter if it's loaded crooked into the fixture? A lot of those things start to fall apart. Now you're an engineer and you're taking line data, the intel that comes from that clean room, from nascent users of a very codified process, and you're expecting to use that as your pass-fail sort of metric on whether or not you're developing good solid seals. So there's a lot of holes in it. Human factor stuff all day long here. What I've developed is a new system. It's going to be called the PTT-500AV. And basically, imagine this beautiful, magical day. You take your medical device pouch, you put it into this machine, and I'll send you a link so you can take a look at the video to show you exactly what this does. So you put it into the machine, it cuts the specimen, it peels the specimen apart, it gives you a pass-fail based on the quality group's sort of threshold peel strength. And then it sends simultaneously a data stream out the back for your enterprise system, or it sends a Wi-Fi signal that through the app you can quickly see and aggregate and hold data and develop pretty bar charts and histograms and all those sort of things. And you can do it on your phone. This is where technology needs to be. We need to take complicated processes and make them simple. I mean, under the hood of your car is a factory that creates horsepower. You don't have to have any engineering background to drive a car. It would never work. You can't have user input that you have to make this contraption work. You put it in drive, you touch the gas, and off you go. It's that kind of technology and that kind of engineering and that kind of a mindset, the firewall, the user from complication, to make it easy for a process to move forward. And that's exactly what I'm doing with the innovation that I'm working on. I have other innovation that's going to do a lot of sort of in-process testing. I'll release more about that on LinkedIn at one point. We'll talk a little bit about it on this podcast. But really, not to just showcase the stuff that I'm working on, but you know, around your workflow, is there opportunity for you to be able to innovate in a way that is, Steve Jobs would call it, lickable, shocking, interesting? Where could you take innovation in your workflow and make it far more interesting? But remember, we don't want to lose the kernel, which of course is valuable. So take valuable change and do it in a crazy way. We used to have brainstorming sessions back in the 80s when innovation was really at its sort of zenith. The goal in these brainstorming sessions were, let's see who can come up with the most crazy idea. And I'm not saying that just because you're moving away from middle and doing something that's iconoclastic and crazy is really the most valuable bit of innovation that you're going to net out, but it could be. And what I'm seeing in medical device packaging innovation is, yawn. Nothing interesting. It's a wasteland. If to me, it just feels like so little is happening. They got another little flashing icon on their touchscreen or just some sort of a, I'm going to get beat up for saying all this, right? But it's just, gosh, I just cannot believe how we're just not doing bigger, better things in medical packaging. I just feel it incumbent on me to take hold of some of the things that I believe in. And, you know, trying to get user interface, I mean, we're troubled with a workflow. We have to realize the social impact of our devices. Right now, it's hard to get people. So the human flesh connection to our machinery has a new face. And that new face basically is saying that if we can't get people or there's huge turnaround, I think turnaround like in the SPD department and also for line workers in a medical packaging clean room has become so challenging that we have to innovate our systems to be able to recognize that. So if you have a process that you really get the person that knows how to do an ASTM F88, they're doing it right, they're doing it to the letter of the standard, they understand its importance, and then they take off for a better job down the hall or across the street or in another city, and now you're back at Monday again. With systems like the PTT-500, all the operator has to do is to put a pouch in the device. All of the magic happens behind the scene. Again, put car in drive. This is the kind of innovation that we're going to need to do. Systems that are easy to insert, that don't require IFUs that are 50 pages long. We're trying to dummy down, simplify systems in order to sort of accommodate this new zeitgeist and human movement. That's something that I just wanted to point out as I move away from a lot of committees and other things in the industry. I'm working very hard to try to make some of these things that I've been dreaming about for years. And, you know, just kind of look around, look at other metrics in the market. Packaging Digest recently had an article where they talked about testing being sort of the trends for 2024. I'm in the middle of doing testing systems. What are the indicators in the market? What's the market have to say? What are we asking? But I think sometimes we only go on level one questions. We need to go to level two. Maybe it's testing, but what in testing and how can testing change? And also to look at dissimilar marketplaces to see how they're addressing it. I mean, again, when I look at consumer electronics, and if you're on Facebook or any social media and you're getting the latest gadget du jour in your face, to me, it's pretty sad when somebody is far more innovative about making a new wallet than my industry is in making better packaging systems. So that young, daring innovator that is doing a lot of cool stuff in other industries, we need to capture that spirit and bring it into medical packaging. And that's my soapbox. So excuse me for all of that. And anyway, I hope you'll continue to kind of peek in to see how some of these innovations of mine are coming along. As usual, I'll post them on LinkedIn as they're developing. But it's very cool stuff. I'm very proud of it. It's fun to be tinkering with things. My dad brought me up working on motorcycles. So I'm a mechanic and I like doing that part of this business. I love the business part of it. I love every bit of it. I love this podcast. All the things that I do are so cool. I get so busy in my personal life. I play drums in a band and I got a lot of things going, but I think that over the coming years, I'm trying to synthesize down a lot of the things that I do on the commercial side of my life are coming down to things that really make a difference. And as you get older, I believe that's where you get. If you look at the arc of many great men and women as they are in the sort of tertiary part of their life, they become more philanthropic and looking at ways to be able to serve their industry. And, you know, I like to think I've always been in that mode, but certainly more, I'm thinking, you know, at the end of the day, rather than me being on a Zoom meeting every week in a collective, moving towards a sort of a granular movement towards a goal, I would rather use some of my crazy Wild Wild West sort of stuff and come up with things quickly. One thing, if I have a talent for anything, and that is quick turns. I'm able to get things to happen quickly and get it to the market so the market can tell me yes or no. That I think is real important. Again, as I get older, that's a requirement. Days or patents. I just recently got a patent that I filed 5 years ago, finally got approved. I mean, gosh, it's crazy. And it used to be, I think after 65, USPTO figures, this guy ain't going to be around forever. We better look at his application. So I think I'm at that age now. Anyway, I just wanted to chat a little bit about innovation with y'all. Feel free to shoot me an email, just charlie@spotradiopodcast.com. You can reach out to me on LinkedIn. Love to hear your thoughts. If you're innovating and got some things going, you want a sounding board, by all means, I love to talk about new gadgets and widgets and cool stuff that's going on. So anytime you want to talk about innovation, as a lifelong innovator, I'm all ears. Feel free to reach out to me. Well, thanks everybody. We'll be back on the next episode. I've got two big podcasts that are coming out. One, actually, I'm going to keep a little bit of a secret. I'm looking forward to the next one. We'll be back live on that in a couple of weeks or so. Again, I'm trying to get the cadence of this to be more reliable. The great thing about podcasts, though, is it almost doesn't matter what the date was. You go through the library of episodes and choose the one you want to listen to. So that's the great thing about this, opposed to live radio. Well, I'm out of breath and time, and I will let you all get back to your workday. Thanks for listening in today. I hope you'll connect with me. Please come back and listen to the next podcast. This is Charlie Webb with Sterile Packaging on Track Radio. Look forward to hearing from you and you hearing from me on the next one. Take care.
This podcast is made possible by Vanderstall Scientific. Executive producer Lisa Wasper. Director of Media Service Hector Garcia. Audio engineering and editing by Joel and our friends at East Coast Studios. And this is Jonathan Lockwood saying thanks for your support, medical device manufacturers. See you next time on Spot Radio.